This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
The snap out of the gun. Allen looks left, fires left, caught by Beasley at the one, dives into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley, touchdown, Bills! Bills will go for two right here with 7 minutes left.
The MVP Healthcare Play of the Game is brought to you by MVP Healthcare. Health insurance built around me. That's MVP Healthcare, making health insurance more convenient, more supportive, more personal. Learn more at MVPHealthcare.com as we continue in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Gene, I feel like there are two factions today in terms of assessing blame. There's the faction that wants to say that Josh Allen needs to play better. I'm certainly in that group. And then there's the faction that says, hey, you know what? The Bills need a true weapon. There were way too many drops. To dissect a little bit more of that disappointing loss at New Era Field yesterday and look ahead on Sunday night. To Sunday night in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. We welcome in the host of the Locked On Bills podcast and the DraftNetwork.com, Joe Marino, good with his time, and joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Joe, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Joe, appreciate the time. The answer isn't both. The answer, I'm not going to let you say both. I'm not going to let you say a little bit of this, a little bit. Which one was the bigger problem? Was it Josh Allen yesterday, or was it some of his teammates letting him down?
Well, I've had a chance to watch the game tape, and I would put this loss more on Josh Allen. I think it's good teaching tape. I think there's a lot for Josh to take away from this one and apply to an opponent here this weekend against Pittsburgh that's going to be aggressive with the blitz. But Josh Allen had answers against the blitz in this football game. His eyes were just in the wrong place. I think that especially early on, he wanted to get some stuff going down the field, maybe take advantage of having the wind at his back. But the reality was he ignored what the defense was giving him. And when you blitz that many guys, there's going to be space and there's going to be options for you to go with the football. And I don't think Josh did a good enough job, especially early in the game, of getting to those outlets and maybe was a little bit too eager to work the ball down the field when there were answers that he could have just checked the ball down to and hit hot routes. So for me, this is more of a Josh Allen blame type situation. I think it's good teaching tape. He'll have a chance to correct those issues. And, he just didn't meet this moment as well as he needed to for the Bills to beat the best team in football at home.
Joe, talk about some of the play calling, because, man, I think if they connect on one, or well, maybe even two, not to be greedy, of those long deep shots that they took early in the game, we're having a different discussion today.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you got to get them out of it, right? They blitzed 30 times against Buffalo, and they had no reason to stop. The Bills weren't picking it up in pass pro. Josh Allen wasn't replacing the blitz with the ball, and you did nothing to get them out of that aggressive cover zero, blitz everyone type look, and that's what needed to happen. Josh had to hit one of those big throws, or he needed to be more consistent getting the ball out quick into his outlets, and neither one of those two things happened.
We're talking to Joe Marino from the Draft Network. Joe, I'm going to play you a soundbite here. This was Vinny Serrato, former GM of the Washington Redskins. He's doing radio now in Baltimore. He joined us last week, and it was something he spotted on the Buffalo Bills offense. Here was Vinny Serrato joining us last week.
88 can't block. You know, watching the film, you know, people were asking, can Buffalo expose the outside run? Kittles dominated Judon and dominated Ferguson, dominated them blocking. And watching the film, I can't see 88, your tight end, being able to do that.
Yeah, Knox.
Dawson Knox.
Yeah, the rookie.
Yeah, and as it happened, it would be Judon, getting around Knox, and I don't know if that's fair to Dawson Knox to expect to block him one-on-one, or is it? So what are you seeing right now? Because people are going to focus on that one drop, but is that a concern for the Buffalo Bills right now, the tight end position?
Well, I think Dawson Knox gave up two sacks in that game yesterday, so it was definitely if you wanted to point fingers and say Dawson Knox is not a good blocker, then you've got all the material you could ever want based on the game yesterday. And the reality is, I know that everybody hates to see a good pass rusher. Judon's the best pass rusher the Ravens have up against your tight end and pass pro, but that's football. It happens. And everyone likes to fire off tweets whenever a tight end gets cooked by a good pass rusher, and people say you can't block him with that tight end, but that's football. It happens all the time. You just happen to care about it a lot whenever the guy beats your guy for a sack, especially a strip sack that gives the Ravens 24 yards before they score a touchdown. So it's a technique thing. I've watched the play multiple times. Dawson Knox had to do a better job of getting his hands placed on Matt Judon and running his feet. You know, Judon's going to get that edge on you. He's gonna make you work. But if you can take him where he wants to go, more than he wants to go there, you just push him past the quarterback and you're going to be fine. But Dawson Knox, I mean, he's a player that has a ton of talent. I mean, he's got a very exciting upside. The drops need to go away. He needs to be more consistent blocking. I think he's done some good things as a blocker this year, particularly on the move and on some of the Bills' outside runs that they've been able to get Devin Singletary going on. But we have to recognize that Dawson Knox is a young football player. He's a rookie. He's new to playing tight end. He switched over from quarterback to tight end at Ole Miss. And at Ole Miss, he had a very small workload, very, very infrequently targeted in the passing game. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of inconsistency at the catch point in uncontested situations in the NFL. But his effort as a blocker is generally very outstanding. He's had good blocks. And I think maybe some of that criticism may be short-sighted into some reps, because with Knox right now, we have to take the good with the bad, and hopefully he can play through it, develop. He's immensely talented, and he's got a bright future if he continues to grow.
Joe, as disappointing as a loss is, and you give up 24 to one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league, I have a hard time pointing a finger at the Bills' defense in this, or after somebody who's reviewed the film and has watched the game over again, is there something to be said about the Bills' defensive performance yesterday in this loss to Baltimore?
The defense was outstanding. Sometimes the stats do tell the story, and Buffalo held Baltimore well under their points per game. Their third down conversion percentages, their passing yards and rushing output really, really met the moment defensively in a big way. Tremaine Edmonds played really well. I think the defensive line particularly played really well. Shaq Lawson did a great job on some of his reps containing Lamar Jackson. Thought maybe Jerry Hughes had some poor angles that you didn't see from Shaq Lawson. I know he had an unblocked sack, but between his tantrum and some angles he took containing, I thought he was a bit of a liability. But collectively, this defensive unit was outstanding. I mean, Jordan Poyer, he got his wires crossed, and he didn't run with Hayden Hurst on that 61-yard touchdown, which, you know, was a pretty critical point in the game. But, I think you can look at the Bills' performance defensively against Baltimore and probably say no team's done as well against them on the entire season, and the Bills play winning football on defense for sure.
Yeah, it's funny how like one or two plays can decide a game, and that one play breaking for 61. What are your overall impressions of Baltimore, Joe? Winners of 9 in a row. I mean, is this a team you think that is the favorite to win it all?
You have to like their chances a lot. I think some of their biggest challenges ahead of Baltimore is they're going to have to beat teams again that they've already faced, right? They're probably going to have to face either New England or Buffalo in the playoffs at some point, two teams that they've beaten. And, I think it's harder to beat a team again, especially a unique team that presents very different challenges for you. Now you have good defensive minds in Sean McDermott and Bill Belichick getting another crack at them. And then, if they really want to go all the way, look at the San Francisco 49ers and even the Seattle Seahawks. They played that division this year. And they're going to have to prove that they can beat those teams again. So Baltimore, they're going to have to earn it. They're certainly a unique opponent. You certainly love how Harbaugh has really done a good job of applying analytics to the way he plays the game. They're very aggressive on defense, and they present a lot of challenges on offense. And so their big task ahead of them is proving that they can keep doing it and doing it again against teams that have played them once already this year.
Hey, Joe, let's look ahead to Sunday night. We know the significance of this game. We know that the Bills essentially need to win a game, and they're in the postseason. And we know that their opponent is, offensively, they're going to be a little bit more challenged because they're starting their fourth string undrafted rookie quarterback. Their defense, however, is stout, and the job that Mike Tomlin has done with the Pittsburgh Steelers this year is probably his best coaching job to date. Give us a little preview of what the Bills need to do to secure a playoff berth earth and get that W on Sunday night in Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, I think I kind of marry the Denver game and the Baltimore game together here, and I think you could take the best of both of those offensively and defensively and apply it to this Pittsburgh team. You know, the reality is Duck Hodges is not anyone's preferred starter in the NFL. He's not anyone's preferred backup. And the game plan that Buffalo had against Brandon Allen in Denver, where they were pretty relentless going after him, I think that needs to be the same case for the Bills' defense this weekend. They're a good offensive line. They're going to probably have Juju Smith-Schuster back. But the reality is Duck Hodges is a quarterback that you need to go after and really put him in conflict. And then defensively, this team's playing lights out. I think they've probably been the best defense in the league over the last 8-10 weeks, has Pittsburgh. And, you know, they're going to look at that Baltimore tape and say, well, we need to go after Josh Allen like they did, like Baltimore did, and prove that, you know, Josh can respond and apply the information that he's going to learn this week and find outlets and be consistent hitting throws. And if he can do that, then, you know, the Bills will be just fine and everyone will be happy about win number 10 in a playoff berth. But, you know, it's going to be, how does Josh Allen meet this moment? Sunday Night Football, the first time the Bills have been on that since 2007. With win number 10, a playoff spot on the line, and really a defense that's going to challenge you in similar ways than the one that you just struggled against, and probably even more talented at all three levels.
So let's assume, and I think it's a safe assumption, that Pittsburgh is going to do some of the things that Baltimore did successfully with the blitzing and not keeping guys back. And if you are facing that, Joe, what is the good counter if you're Brian Daboll? Is that a screen game? Is that, hey, we didn't hit on the deep ball before, but we're going to practice and get it right this time? Is it having certain plays for Cole Beasley? How would you define what would be the elixir here to fix this?
Yeah. You know, I think the two things people are going to want to talk about is hitting those deep throws and the screen game. Well, the Bills have been bad at both of those things all year long. They're not a good screen team. They don't throw the ball deep well. And so I'm not going to rely on things that I've not done successfully all season long when, you know, you really kind of in crunch time here. For me, it's just going to be about having blitz beaters, having man coverage beaters, and understanding that, you know, if they're going to send seven guys, that means they've only got four in coverage, and they're going to be in trouble because someone's going to be open. So it's going to be about eye discipline for Josh Allen, knowing where the pressure's coming from, setting the protection, and getting your eyes in the proper places to start your progression. And I think he'll find a lot of success if he can just, you know, hit that back foot, get the football out, because you can't drop seven and rush seven at the same time. You got a math problem. You only play with 11 guys. I know Baltimore tried to do that a few times yesterday, getting 12 guys on the field. But you can't do that, and they're going to give you something. And so you have to take that's something that they give you and really get them out of that aggressive mentality, and that opens up everything for you.
Hey, Joe, it's funny. You know, last year at this time, we were almost exclusively looking ahead to April and talking about the draft, and we're talking about meaningful football for this team in the month of December, in the middle of December, and a potential playoff berth. So I don't want to talk too much about drafting for the Buffalo Bills right now, but I do want to tap into your draftnetwork.com expertise. And, you know, a game like yesterday, I think, kind of exposes some talent deficiencies for the Buffalo Bills. If you had to guess right now, when we look ahead on the calendar to April and the Bills on the clock, what direction do you think they're going in terms of needs through the draft?
Well, I guess I can give you a predictive answer. I can give you my answer. For me, it really kind of comes down to, I think the Bills need to get better on the defensive line. And it's short and long-term issues. You've got some expiring contracts in Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson. You've got some players that you're paying a good amount of money to that haven't been productive, like a Trent Murphy. And so, you know, you probably want to get younger and more dynamic in a lot of those spots. I mean, even Jerry Hughes, he's an aging player. He's still pretty effective. But, you know, who are those long-term edge rushers that you really need in a 4-3 defense? And so it's a deep draft for the defensive line this year. I can see the Bills going after an edge rusher or even an interior guy. You know, like I mentioned, Jordan Phillips in a contract year, Harrison Phillips coming off of an ACL tear. You've got Ed Oliver and Star Lotulelei. Who knows what happens with Corey Legette? So I know that defensive line may not be what Bills fans want to hear. I think that's a premium position that presents value in the first round. The Bills will be picking late in the first round. I know Brandon Bean loves to trade up, and we'll talk a lot about those possibilities as the months go on here, but it could be a situation if they sit back. The value could be at a position that maybe we're not expecting. Maybe that is an offensive lineman. Who knows what happens with Quentin Spain? If he doesn't stick around, then you've got a hole at left guard. And you've got a contract situation with Deion Dawkins coming up at left tackle. So a young offensive lineman could be the value there. Could be a receiver, where last week or Sunday was a good example of maybe having a guy with some size and some athleticism to really trust in critical moments where you just need to throw the ball to a dynamic weapon. Where, you know, if John Brown was 3 inches taller, maybe he makes that play at the end of the game. So the Bills are going to have plenty of options. It's a deep, talented draft. It's going to be really interesting because I think this is the first time in a long time we're going to talk Bills draft where they're picking in the mid to late 20s. And Brandon Bean, we know he likes to trade up. So kind of mixing all that together should create for some fun draft discussion come the next few months.
I think it's just refreshing. We haven't hit that button until just now talking about the draft. Joe Marino, Joe, I'm just curious to get your thoughts, and we're not jinxing anything, all right? The Bills have a 95% chance to make the postseason, according to the New York Times. And just going on the assumption here, it's going to be the 5 or the 6 seed. Which of the potential opponents would be the best place for Buffalo to go to, the best opponent in terms of a win, and which is the team that you would say, you know what, I prefer that Buffalo not play this team in the first round?
Yeah, in my mind, I think you want to be the 5th seed, and then you want to go play the winner of the AFC South, whether that's Tennessee or Houston. And to me, Houston's so inconsistent. You'd love the chance to go play them. Houston, it seems like very weak atmosphere in terms of the intensity of that building. I mean, you can go on StubHub every week and you can get a Houston Texans ticket for $25-30. So I don't know why. They have a great quarterback and an exciting team, but it's just not a very dynamic fan base down there. And then to me, I don't want to go to Arrowhead and I don't want to go to Foxborough. I want to go play Baltimore Ravens again. And so, you know, kind of prove that they can beat you twice. So my path forward, if I would have my ideal scenario, it's the Houston Texans in the wild card round, and then go play Baltimore and prove that, you know, make them prove that they can beat you twice. And then, my goodness, if you get to the AFC Championship game, who cares? You're gonna have to beat them all to get there, and that'll be a lot of fun. But to me, the path that I would prefer is Houston and then Baltimore.
Joe, you're always gracious with your time to join us on Overreaction Monday. I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners everything that you're working on, not just for the DraftNetwork.com, but the Locked On Bills podcast as well.
Yeah, a lot of content coming through on a daily basis, written work over at thedraftnetwork.com, where we write NFL, college football, and, of course, the draft. And then the daily podcast, the Buffalo Bills, Locked On Bills. You can find that on whatever podcast and medium you like to listen to. We go Monday through Friday talking Bills football. So check it out if you're interested.
Joe, appreciate the time, and we'll catch up here hopefully before the holidays. Thanks so much, Joe.
Of course, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
You got it. Joe Marino from thedraftnetwork.com and the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, our guest here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, that AFC South, I don't know if I agree with him on that because, yes, I see Houston, and I see Houston being maybe a team. Tennessee's coming on. Tennessee is 8-5.
Yeah. Tennessee's the last team I would want to play.
Right. And if
I don't want to play that team.
If you have you seen the schedule? It's just a little bit quirky. There are 3 games left. Houston and Tennessee play 2 of the last 3 weeks. So I could almost guarantee, you know how week 17 they don't set the schedule and they're going to flex a game? Well, hard for me to imagine that that division is going to be decided beforehand. In other words, week 17, that will be a playoff game. Houston and Tennessee, I predict that that would be the game that gets flexed on week 17.
Oh, and my God. I mean, does anybody want to tackle Derrick Henry in the month of December or January? You don't want to face that team because you don't want to have to try and tackle that guy. It's punishing. It's a different brand of football this time of year. And Tennessee's kind of built for it. And Tannehill, all of a sudden, this rebirth of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I want to say that...
Rebirth? I mean, I don't know if he was ever birthed.
Well, listen, he made the postseason 1 year in Miami. I mean, like, the idea that Ryan Tannehill is a thing in Tennessee, a thing that he wasn't in Miami, and that he's playing as good as he's playing. Yeah, that's a team I wouldn't want to face. I don't think there's a team in the AFC that wants to face Tennessee if they get into the dance.
No, they've won 4 in a row.
God. All right, let's get to I'll Drink to That in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We'll also talk more Bills and Ravens when Nate Geary from our radio.com sports sister station WGR in Buffalo joins us next hour. Next, takes on tap.
Yeah, there was a report yesterday regarding Cam Newton getting traded. You know how we love this stuff in the sports bar, but I'm going to suggest don't take it at face value, but if that does happen, they're going to need a quarterback. I'm going to present to you a scenario for Carolina moving forward. And there's one job that you could not pay me to do, and that's to be someone's travel coordinator. We were reminded this yesterday in the NFL.
I have a take on a stadium slash arena anthem that needs to be replaced. And I have the song that will replace it. And I'm going to liberate many of you today. You might not be in the know. Gene, I don't think you're one of these guys either, but there is something that we've had in our lives, our entire life. We've taken it for granted. I'm going to expose you to what it is and why it needs to become a part of your life. It's ridiculous, but enjoyable at the same time.
Gross. I read.
Wow.
I cheated here.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah.
Right, so we have some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports or takes on the way next. I'll drink to that. In the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports league, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.